the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the R&R Show. So we have Thanksgiving Day, of course, coming up on Thursday. We want to spend this hour, half hour, talking about Thanksgiving Day, but more specifically, this idea of thankfulness and being thankful. When we think of Thanksgiving, Jacob, I just go back to some memories of being a child, spending Thanksgiving with my family, specifically my grandfather, who I was very close to. And this was the Wilson side of the family, my mom's father, and we would meet at Seminole Lake Park, and we would have this kind of buffet. People from Perry would drive down. That's where he grew up, a very rural part of Florida. And what I remember was that the big highlight of this get-together, one of the highlights, was the adults would gather around, some of them, and they would play jarts. Do you know what jarts are?
Jarts?
Jarts.
I have no idea.
Okay, because you know why? Basically, you're not allowed to sell this game anymore. It's a dart game you play on the ground with these darts that you throw underhanded and try to get them in this circle. So it's kind of like horseshoes, but with a darts concept, and it's called jarts.
Lawn darts.
Well, I was looking this up today. I couldn't remember what they were called, but that's the name that was given to them, jarts. Okay, lawn darts. And it just, you know, as a kid, I would look at this and I would think, man, that's awesome. I wish I could go play lawn darts or whatever it was. And one Thanksgiving, I guess I reached the age of maturity and I was able to go and play. And I held my own. I didn't win. But that just stands out to me. I know that just seems very boring and very dull. But that was something that I really appreciated and enjoyed about Thanksgiving as a kid. I don't think you can top that, Jake.
Well, as tough as it would be to beat lawn darts, maybe I can. I feel bad that my favorite Thanksgiving memory doesn't really revolve around like my immediate family, but they're not listening to the radio anyway, so it's okay.
I was thinking about that too.
I think my favorite is for the past couple of years up at the church, we do this deal where we've deep fried like 30 turkeys. And I will throw a meal for some of the folks downtown and in Sanford. And I really like it because a lot of folks from the church, you know, we would ride to Rayford and just buy a ton of turkeys. And then we've got our dedicated senior adult guys who want to make sure that I'm not messing the turkeys up. So I've got one that'll start calling me a week ahead of time, fussing, making sure that I've got the turkey stalled. And then I've got guys that'll come out there and we just sit around and talk and joke around and watch the turkeys fried and let folks inside the kitchen do all the hard work, But we always have a really good time doing that. And we're, you know, doing something good. We're feeding people downtown. So I always like that.
Very good. But you didn't have lawn darts to play.
No, we did not have lawn darts to play. That's true.
Well, so when we think about Thanksgiving, just it's important to know that it's an American holiday that stretches all the way back to a time long before we even became a nation. Full disclosure, Stephen Nichols from Reformation Bible College on the Ligonier blog talks about this. Of course, we should know the Pilgrims landed in the New World in 1620, and it was a tough time. I mean, they had difficult conditions. They were really unprepared. It's reported that about half of them died in that first year, and then they had a successful harvest. And then 1621, they decided to celebrate a feast of Thanksgiving. And I thought this was interesting, Jacob. We were looking at this, that they would have these special dedicated days of Thanksgiving, but and giving thanks to God. But these Puritans didn't have these annual feasts or annual holidays. They would look when a special bounty or provision from God came forth, and then they would have a special day for that. But it wouldn't be something they do every year. Here was one of those, though, that was among those first who celebrated that Thanksgiving meal in 1621, Edward Winslow. Here's what he wrote. We have this record. Quote, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, so that we might after a special manner rejoice together after we gathered the fruit of our labors. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want." End quote. In addition to the birds that they ate that first Thanksgiving, the Indians also brought along 5 deer as their contribution to the feast, and presumably they also ate corn. That great harvest was a corn harvest. And Nichols notes that over the centuries, Americans have continued to celebrate feasts of Thanksgiving in the fall. Some presidents issued proclamations. Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation for a perpetual national holiday set aside for Thanksgiving. In 1863, think about this, the nation is just torn apart by the Civil War. Here's what Lincoln declared, quote, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." End quote. Jacob, as we think about having a national holiday of Thanksgiving, I think it just begs this question as we look around our society. Why are so many people ungrateful today? We're reading about and learning about what it was like for those settlers, those pilgrims, what it was like for those in the midst of the Civil War to express gratitude. And I think an argument could be made that we are experiencing so much blessing here in our nation, our culture today. In the midst of so much blessing, though, why are so many people ungrateful? That's the question we'd like to discuss today. And so we would encourage you to call in. What do you think? Why are so many people ungrateful today? 919-775-1050. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Discuss this. 919-775-1050. Jacob, any thoughts on that?
If I had to take a stab, I think one of the reasons that people are very ungrateful today is they have a sense of entitlement. They feel like they're owed certain things, mm-hmm. or certain things should just be given to them. So whereas, I don't know, maybe during the Puritan time they were hopeful and prayed for a bounteous crop. Nowadays people would probably feel like, I should have a bounteous crop. If I don't have one, then there's an issue. You know, I think that my age group and maybe the one before mine just feels like society or God or the universe or whatever owes them the things that they want. And so they don't feel any gratitude for it. It should just be there. It should just be given to them. That's what I think.
That they're owed it, that they have a right to it.
Exactly. Anything that I want, instead of going out and working hard for it or praying for it, I just feel like I'm owed that. It should be given to me on a silver platter.
And I think that's a message that's reinforced through advertising, marketing all the time.
I mean all the time you see these commercials where it's get the such and such you deserve, the this yes. and that you do.
I'm worth it.
Yeah, well, if we all got what we deserve, we would just probably be in hell. So we really don't want to aim for that, right?
That's right. That's right. When someone asks, how are you doing? Better than I deserve. If you know Jesus, you are. That's a great point. We have this sense of entitlement in our culture. And I think another reason, Jacob, that we're so ungrateful, we look around, we see a lot of ingratitude, is because of our prosperity. I think we're a very prosperous people materially. And I think prosperity breeds ingratitude. Think about this. See, we had this holiday of Thanksgiving, and it was born in this time of great adversity, great struggle. And we might think that the people that experienced those hardships, that they would be ungrateful. And those of us here in this prosperous time, we would be so grateful. But actually, the reverse seems to be true. And here's what Stephen Nichols notes. I know you're not a great fan of The Simpsons. Neither am I.
No.
At all.
Of course not.
I think I've turned it on just to try to learn from it. But there's a character on there named Bart Simpson. Are you familiar with him, Jacob?
I'm familiar with Bart Simpson.
Okay, so in any event, there might be some funny things. But there was a very chilling thing on there one time. He was called upon to pray for a meal, to which he promptly prayed, quote, "Dear God, we paid for all of this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing."
You know, that actually reminds me, there's an old Western movie, which Sam, you've got you know, we disagree on Westerns, but there's a really famous one called, I think it's called Shenandoah, where is the guy's name Jimmy Stewart at the beginning. He prays over to supper and says, Lord, we planted this and we plowed it and we watered it and this. And it goes on for like 5 minutes and he goes, but we're going to thank you anyway. So Bart might have stole that from Jimmy Stewart.
It sounds very similar. Nichols notes that the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism knew that prosperity breeds ingratitude. And then he quotes, or he discusses question 28, because question 28 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks, what it benefits us to know that God creates and sustains all things? The answer is it gives patience in adversity and gratitude in prosperity. Moses knew this. In Deuteronomy, he looks ahead to times of material prosperity for Israel, and then he sternly warns, inspired by the Holy Spirit, not to forget God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, quote, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth, unquote. See, what was Moses concerned about? He knew that with the prosperity of being in the promised land, the Israelites would look at their prosperity and say, we did this all ourselves. Thanks for nothing. And it just shows from the Bible that human nature tends towards ingratitude.
Yeah, I also think that if you've always had it pretty good and you've never gone without, then you don't know how good you have it. You know, if you've gone hungry before, then you really appreciate certain things. I remember there's a restaurant here in town, Sam, and one of our Sunday school classes was meeting there back when we still, you know, were able to all go to restaurants. But there was a sign in the restaurant that said, we have pork brains. And I said, oh my gosh, that is disgusting. Who is eating pork brains? And one of the old men looks at me and goes, well, if you're hungry enough, you'll eat pork brains. Goodness. And he talked about how when he was a kid, they didn't have anything to eat.
Hey, listen, that reminds me of my seventh grade American history teacher, Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis was a cool guy, man of few words, and he talked about being over in Vietnam, and he would use these types of illustrations. He would say, look, for example, if you're over there in the jungle and you're starving, and you see that lizard going up the tree, you're going to grab that lizard, and enough said. I'm just telling you, I won't go into any more detail, but that's a true example of, you know, we have so much, and there's so much all around us. Whenever we want something, we just go and buy it, or we just go and, you know, it's in the refrigerator. We go and we open the refrigerator. It's there to have food. We have plenty. And so why should we be thankful? Because it's just all around us. We have so much prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
I got you with that illustration, didn't I? You're surprised I shared that. So, Jacob, when we think also about this question of why are we so ungrateful, Nichols says that there's another reason. It's the to whom question. The to whom question. Now, before we go into that, let me just encourage you listeners to call in because we want to hear from you. So we can take a break, and we want to hear what you have to say. 919-775-1050. Call in. Why are so many people so ungrateful today? But just continuing on, the to whom question. Now, I'm surprised. He actually quotes from a University of California at Davis professor of psychology. That's unlike Dr. Nichols because he's president of Reformation Bible College. But listen to what he says. This professor of psychology, Dr. Robert Emmons, calls the to whom question something very significant. In his scientific study of gratitude, I like that. His scientific study of gratitude.
Wait, does somebody get paid to study gratitude?
Oh, listen, you know there's worse. Emmons came to the realization that gratitude raises a singular and significant question. When we say thank you, to whom are we grateful? To whom are we grateful? Now, Jacob, of course, if we were to trace this line of questioning back, if we start pulling on the thread of this tapestry, ultimately, what is that answer going to be?
We're going to have to be thankful to God for the things that we have.
That's right, because we should be grateful because in an ultimate sense, everything comes from God. Our benefactor does, as it says in Acts 14:17, quote, good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness, unquote. This is an example in Acts 14:17 of what theologians call common grace. God, as his as the creator, cares for his creation. He provides for our needs. He gives us our very lives. He gives us our very breath. And so when we think about this, we understand that there is a creator. He is the one that provides. And ultimately, his greatest gift to us is what, Jacob?
That would be the opportunity for salvation.
That's right. And theologians call this most precious gift the gift of his beloved son, saving grace. And there is this, there's a cost that's associated with this for the giver. The Father gave his son. It cost him the death of his son on the cross. And that's why Paul exclaims in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.
So is he saying, Sam, that the reason some people are not grateful is because that would force them to admit there was someone they had to be grateful to? Is that kind of what he's saying?
Absolutely. It goes back to what you were talking about with this entitlement idea. And the more we have we have this increase of the secular state, the culture is veering towards that. We're shrinking back from gratitude because we think that we've done all this ourselves. You know, everything that we have, everything that we possess is from ourselves because we've basically pushed God out of the picture, to the periphery at least. And so we wrongly think that we deserve or even have a fundamental right to everything that we have because we've done it all ourselves. But I think there's another aspect to this as well, Jacob. You know what that is? When we pull that string and the answer to whom are we grateful, when the answer is God, what does that do? That confronts us with our Creator. And guess what? We know we have to be accountable to a Creator. Think about that. When we say thank you, we're showing that we're not independent. We're showing that we're dependent.
Well, we don't like that. We don't like admitting that.
No. We would much rather be ungrateful than to have to admit that we are actually dependent on God. Paul, you know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, I love the first chapter of Romans. Paul there says that we actually, humans actually, know God from all the evidence he has left of himself, but we don't want to, quote, honor him or give thanks to him, unquote. He's given us enough evidence that we do know him, we can know him, but we don't want to honor him or thank him. And what happens when we start living that way? You have this spiral of ingratitude.
And scripture says we start to worship the gifts rather than the giver.
That's right.
Which is a slippery slope.
That's right. So what do y'all think? We'd like to hear from you. We've talked about this from an experiential standpoint, just watching our culture, seeing our culture. Scripture obviously confirms what we've talked about. We'd like to hear your thoughts as well. What are we missing here? 919-775-1050. 919-775-1050.
You know, what this makes me think of is we were sitting one night at youth group. This has been a couple of years, and I had this girl in the youth group, and she was taking her iPhone and she was flipping it up in the air and letting it land on the floor. And I'm kind of OCD. I don't like to see people tear stuff up. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I don't like my phone." And I said, "It's an iPhone. What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Yeah, but it's not the newest one."
There you go.
So I'm throwing it up in the air and letting it hit the floor. That way my dad will have to buy me the new iPhone.
Okay.
And so we're talking about ingratitude and thinking that we're owed stuff and deserve stuff. That girl is popping into my head right now, throwing her phone up and down. So,
well, that reminds me of a story. My oldest daughter
was playing lawn darts.
Was not playing lawn darts.
All right.
No, but I need to introduce that to her. I'm going to go out, and I think you can buy these on the black market now because somebody's daughter got hurt from this game, and then he went on this campaign to basically outlaw lawn darts.
And what if you just watched your kids better?
I know. And they got the government involved, and you actually can't purchase those on the market, those lawn darts that my grandfather's family was playing. But my oldest daughter came home from high school one day, and she told me about one of her classmates there who made this comment, and I don't know, it was a group of them there. He said, "Oh, a used car. I would never buy a used car. That's disgusting. And I thought, oh, that's nice. You've got this 17-year-old kid. He's never had a job in his life, but he's going to a high school where you go out into the parking lot and you see your share of these late model newer cars, and I guess that's the existence that he knows. I don't know how grateful he's probably going to grow up being. What if, oh, wait a minute. When I was in high school, I kid you not, there was a kid in our grade that ran away from home because his parents did not buy him a Mercedes.
His parents were probably okay with it.
He ran away from home. If I was that kid's dad, I'd say, keep going.
Yeah, good luck.
But we shouldn't be ungrateful. We have so much to be thankful for Jacob. What is really the answer to this? What should we be doing, do you think, from the standpoint of just daily lives that we live as Christians? We're susceptible to this. You know, we can talk about others, but we know that God sees our hearts, and there are times that we can be very ungrateful for as much as we've been blessed. What are some things that we can do to basically ward off this spirit of ungratefulness? What do you think?
Well, I don't know if this is what you're going for, but one thing that I think about is as you're spending your daily time in prayer, which you should be doing, just throwing that out there, guys.
Absolutely.
If you're going through your daily time in prayer and you're spending time actually thanking God for the things that He's given you, that's going to help with your spirit of gratitude. And what will also help is as you go through your prayer journal, your prayer list, and you're praying for other people's needs and things like that, you're going to be reminded of how good God has been to you. And you'll also have something to compare it to. Like, hey, you know, this person's struggling with this. I don't have that issue. I should be thankful for that. So spending a lot of time in prayer is going to really change your attitude.
Okay, that's great. And I think obviously, you know, praying, I love the book of Psalms. We see a lot of thankfulness there. Psalm 89. Actually, we just, on our Tuesday night, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth study, we just got through looking at the Psalms. And I was thinking about you, Jacob, because there's a lot there. And the Psalms is a wonderful book. I know you like it, but it hasn't been is that too strong a statement?
It's not my favorite thing to teach out of.
No, no. And it wasn't mine for the longest time. I didn't get the Psalms. But in any event, I think you're right. Absolutely. Of course you're right. We need to be praying. What about that, I guess we would call it an acronym, ACTS, you know, ACTS. I use that during my prayer time. Basically, you know, to start off our prayer with adoration. We pray back truths about God. You know, Lord, you are holy, you're majestic, you're kind, you're omnibenevolent. And then go into the C, confession, confessing our sins. And then T, have a specific time of giving thanks before we get into our supplications, requests. And I think having a dedicated portion of that daily prayer where we're literally looking at the things, thinking about the things that God has done and given us and how He's blessed others, and just being thankful in a time of prayer, like you said, I think is so important. It's really vital for us as Christians. And I think also too, Jacob, just wouldn't you say finding those Christians that just exude just a spirit of thankfulness? I mean, you could probably just, you know, I'm thinking about certain saints I know that have been through some horrific experiences from a human standpoint, and yet, you know, they're thanking God. They're mm-hmm. thankful. They're looking and they're finding the good in things. So what do you think about that?
I think that's good. Yeah, the more you can surround yourself with faithful believers. I'm sitting here thinking, more than that, I've had people in my life who would be like, I don't want to hear you whining. You know, anytime I'd complain to my dad, be like, I don't want to hear that mess. You better be thankful you have that. But yeah, I like your idea better. I like the positive reinforcement better than the negative.
But sometimes we just need the tough love or somebody to tell us, hey, you know, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop thinking that way. Stop acting like that.
Call your mom if you want to complain about stuff. Don't call me. So.
That's right. And what a great thing it would be for us, you know, as individual Christians, as a church, and then, yes, as a nation, to get back to these similar sentiments that we looked at today with the Pilgrims, with Lincoln and others expressing, you know, gratitude to our Creator. I just think that that would make such a big difference, especially the times that we're in. I know our nation has seen stressful times before.
God might be about to show us how good we had it.
He might be. He might be. And what was the one thing that, or one of the things that the Lord judged the nation of Israel about? It was their complaining and their grumbling and their lack of gratitude.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is where they're grumbling to Moses, and God goes, "That's it. I'm going to kill them all."
Yeah, he's going to start over.
Yeah, yeah. So glad that he decided not to do that. But
well, think about this. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. And, you know, you've been taking all of this complaining, all of this grumbling, and you're the leader, you and your brother, and they just want to go back to Egypt. They don't like your leadership. And then God makes this offer. He basically comes in and says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a whole new nation out of you." And Moses steps up and says, "No, don't do it."
Yeah, he's nicer than me.
Well, you know, it is such a great time to celebrate family. I mean, it is one of those things. I know it's not true for everyone. I know that the holidays, Thanksgiving, especially Christmas, can be a time where people are feeling lonely. They've lost some loved ones, and we need to remember those. We need to have our eyes open and look out for those that we can reach out to. But you know, for many of us, most of us, it is a fun time to have this Thanksgiving Day to celebrate. But I think it's important to note, as Nichols does, we shouldn't be counted as Christians. We should not be counted among those who look at the fourth Thursday in November as nothing more than a day of football and overindulgence. So we should be thankful for one day that's set apart to consider all that we have and realize that all we have has actually been given to us. Of course, we shouldn't just do that one day out of the year. We should do that every day of the year. But I like this story that Nichols shares about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says, "Having been imprisoned for 1 year, 4 months, and 18 days in a Nazi cell measuring 6 feet by 9 feet, Bonhoeffer wrote what is certainly a reminder of the meaning of the Thanksgiving holiday. Quote, 'You must never doubt that I'm traveling with gratitude and cheerfulness along the road where I'm being led. My past life is brimful of God's goodness, and my sins are covered by the forgiving love of Christ crucified. I'm so thankful for the people I have met, and I only hope that they never have to grieve about me, but that they too will always be certain of and thankful for God's mercy and forgiveness.'" That's a good sentiment right there, Jacob. I hope that all of us will be certain of and thankful for God's mercy and forgiveness. We will be back, same time, same day next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We want to thank you for listening to the R&R Show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.